Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Good evening, everybody.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
So on tonight's show, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be discussing the latest news, but we're also going to be going over the series finale of The Book of Boba Fett, as well as the series as a whole. But first, I know Fedra has been watching Daredevil. What are you up to on Daredevil?
Yes, I think on Daredevil, I think I just finished season 2, episode 7 or episode 8. So I am right where it's a very interesting situation now. I know this will refresh your guys' memories, but I am at the point where Punisher is locked up. And now he's kind of making negotiations with Kingpin. So this is going to be very interesting. It was a really nice prison fight scene. That was pretty intense. I'm not really loving Elektra's character. Jack can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, again, I've only read just minimal of the comics, but I just never saw the character of Elektra this way. I like the actress. I mean, she's got spunk and she's got passion and she's manipulative and she's a great fighter. Definitely showing like the dark side and pulling out the dark side of Daredevil, and as well as Matt Murdock just himself. But just not loving it. You know, I feel like it's getting old very quickly. So I don't know what to expect for the rest of the end of season 2 and into season 3. But overall in the show, still loving it. I mean, I'm pretty much putting it still at a high 7, high 8 out of 10. It's very cinematically well shot. It's just very dark. So, you know, sometimes I need to take like a few days to break away from it.
And then, oh,
no. And then I'll get back to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just going to say I mean, the first season was good, and I think I've mentioned this before. I just think that there's too many episodes, too many seasons for Daredevil. I'm just not a TV person. I'd rather take a movie in 2-hour lengths, and maybe in a couple of years we see something else. But to dedicate yourself to, I think that there's 13 episodes per season, if I could be wrong, but that's a lot. 3 seasons, an hour long. And I kind of gave up in the middle of season 2. I never saw season 3. I wasn't a fan of, what's his name? Berthnell or something? As the Punisher?
Oh, okay.
I get the actor. He just didn't look like it for me. Like, you always have a preconceived idea of what the Punisher should be. And Thomas Jane was the Punisher in that first movie that they did. And he kind of looked like him. And who was the other one? The other guy was actually one of the Warriors 3.
Was he?
Yeah. He was the... you know, what's the, you know, he's kind of, I mean, like Gimli.
No. I remember the guy, there was a hokey shark movie called Deep Blue Sea. And that guy played the Punisher in one movie, I believe.
I think it was called Punisher War Zone. I think his name was Stevenson, might have been his last name. but I really enjoyed that movie. It was, and he was a perfect Punisher for me. If you guys haven't seen that and it's on cable or on some streaming service, just watch him. I would love to see that movie where they cut out all the other crap that's in it and you just see scenes of him kicking ass and killing people, dismembering them. He was the perfect Punisher. Unfortunately, audiences just didn't like that movie, but I really liked him.
I see Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, he was Drago. And yeah, that was the
He was also Punisher, yes.
That was the very first Punisher movie.
Yeah, 1989. Then Thomas Jane in 2004.
Yep.
And then Ray Stevenson.
Oh, I was right. See, Stevenson was his last name. And, Ray Stevenson.
Punisher Warzone. But then a lot of people are saying that John Bernthal.
That's the one that's in the Netflix one.
Is the best one, is what
I got to say, I haven't seen much of him, but I just don't like the look of him. I just feel something with him is off, where I thought that the other two really looked like him a lot. Dolph Lundgren, it was cool that we actually got a Punisher movie, but it was almost like a made-for-TV movie, except it was ultra-violent. It just, he dyed his hair black. You know, he wore leather. I don't know if he had the Punisher emblem on his chest. I don't think he did. He had knives with skull and crossbones on them or something, or skulls on them. But he was, he was okay. I like that I don't want to get into that movie. If you have to watch the movie, if someone points a gun at your head, yeah, watch it, but I'd watch the other two first before I'd watch the Dolph Lundgren one.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, Fedra. I think this guy, he puts a certain amount of heart into Frank Castle. Like, he can get from him much more emotion on why he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I thought he made the Punisher interesting because I don't find the Punisher that interesting as a character on his own. I like when he plays off against a character like Spider-Man or another character that's a little bit more innocent, you know, and they're trying to deal with this person who's really dark and driven by vengeance. That's when I like the Punisher the best, you know, and I got to see that in Daredevil more than a Punisher standalone movie. So, that's just me. So,
yeah, it's that juxtaposition between, you know, Punisher versus Daredevil and their both of their philosophies. Like that, I like that they're showing that. I also
especially because both of them are ultra violent.
Yeah,
and but it's the motivations that drive them.
Exactly, and I also like that pinpoint recently where you know, Matt, he's of course at this point Matt Murdock, and he's going over to I'm just drawing a blank of her name, the assistant at the firm.
Not happy.
Karen?
Not Karen.
Yes. Yes,
oh, Karen?
Yeah.
Who's the other guy, Jack?
Foggy. Oh, the other guy is Foggy.
Yeah, Foggy. Foggy's cool. I like Foggy, but Karen, like that moment with Karen where, you know, she's saying that some people really ask for it and they need to be put down. And Matt's just saying, like, that's just not part of his philosophy, being a Catholic. So it's almost like that same discussion is happening between her and him, and then he's also having that same conversation with Elektra, and then he's having the same conversation with Punisher, and they're all giving like their two cents right now at the end of season two. And it's just interesting of how he's just trying to justify himself, even though he too is coming from a place of vengeance, because he's always going back to his teacher Stick. He's always going back to his dad, you know. So it's just interesting, because the Punisher by itself is very moot, It's like, all right, so you just want to have vengeance because somebody took out your family. Like, I feel bad for you, but like, what else do you have to live for? Why else are you doing this? So he likes to protect the innocent, but then as soon as he finds out you're not innocent, it's like you're really easy to get taken out. So I agree with Jack that the Punisher cannot be just on its own. It needs to be blended with other characters to really shine that light of what makes him unique. And I also like him as a character because, like we've all mentioned to a certain degree, they're trying to make a lot of characters soft. And you can't make Punisher soft. You just can't.
Well, but you got to realize, too, that that was made a couple of years ago. If Disney got its hands on Punisher, they probably would.
Right, and I hope they don't, because you would completely dismantle. I mean, that'd be like literally, you know, snipping some.
Well, that's why I'm curious about Moon Knight, because Moon Knight should have that raised level of violence that we saw on the Netflix shows versus anything that we've seen on Disney Plus, because Moon Knight is just as psychotic as Daredevil and the Punisher.
Right, but that's Joe's concern, is that they make this more about mental health and putting him under than showing the attributes of the character being dark and violent.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
Well, I tell you, if you really like Daredevil after this, Fedra, I would pick up, this is one of my favorite series, is Born Again by Frank Miller, which was, you know, his run on Daredevil, or one of his runs. And it has Karen Page in it. And she's basically at the lowest part of her life, where she's kind of like a prostitute drug addict. And what was it like? She basically was she looking for like a hit or something like that with drugs, where she needed something? And so she basically gave up Daredevil's identity.
Yeah. She had gotten a drug problem, and Kingpin got a hold of her and just completely manipulated her to end up telling everything out. And it is a very good story. It really is one of the better Daredevil arcs.
Okay. Yeah. I might take you up on that.
Yeah, I think you'd like that. I was going to mention, I saw The Kingsman the other day, and I know Jack had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a cup of tea watching The Kingsman?
No, thank God I didn't. I don't like tea, unless it's ice and it's got lemon in it and a lot of sugar.
All right, fair enough.
But did you ever see the series? The first two movies of The Kingsman, Pedro?
No.
Those are good. Not. Well, the first one is really good.
The first one was great. The second one, not so much. The
second one has got its moments. And Pedro Pascal, that plays the Mandalorian, is in it. He plays the coolest character in the second one. He's like a cowboy, and he basically uses a lasso, except it's a tech lasso. But it's really cool. The villain wasn't that great. The story wasn't that great, but it's got its moments.
Okay.
This one is a prequel, and I think that it was a mistake. I think that people, fans of the original series, wanted to see another sequel, third one. Eggsy's not in it, and I think that that's missing a lot of it. But, you know, the thing I found interesting in it was like a white-if scenario with the start of World War One. It was a little far-fetched and everything. I mean, I kind of could see it working better in a comic book than in a movie, but it was all right. But what I found interesting, Jack, is, you know, the Rasputin?
Yeah.
So do you know who that was?
I don't remember.
That's the actor that plays a lizard in the Spider-Man movies.
Really? Oh, okay. But you see, Fedra, on the other hand, where Joe thought it was, I enjoyed it a whole lot, and it's supposed to be hokey and unrealistic and freaky fun. But you got to say, Joe, that sword fight at the end was really good.
Yeah, no, it was good. I think just Ralph Fiennes was old for the role, too old for the role. And I was looking at his age. He's like 59, but he seems a lot older than me, unless he just didn't age well.
Rise Ifans is Rasputin.
Yeah, that was the guy who played the lizard in the Spider-Man movies. But he did a good job. That guy was really good.
Oh, Stanley.
He just looked creepy all around.
Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth. Oh, man, those guys are great. And Ralph
Colin Fiennes. Firth was amazing in the first one.
Oh, yeah. Tell you, Ralph Fiennes is excellent, too.
You know
great
what?
Great cast.
I am going to give you homework, Fedra. You have to watch the first Kingsman movie. I think you'll really enjoy that. Samuel Jackson is in it. It's really good.
Just remember, you're going to have to take a break probably for a day or two between certain scenes.
I can't say what I want to say, but everybody knows a certain way that Samuel Jackson always says, so you can just...
What, the church scene, Jack?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know Fedra gets a little bit weirded out with hyper stylized violence.
I don't know. Do you, Fedra?
I mean, I got PTSD, so you know, it's like, you know, I don't have a problem admitting that I'm sensitive to that, because perception is everything. So, I mean, hey, if you can envision it, it can happen in reality. So,
it's one of the greatest.
I think you'd have a problem with me, Joe, if I were to be like, yes, I love watching people just tear their arms off and just take a knife and just chisel that neck. You'd be worried.
Oh, so you have seen the church scene.
No, this might convert you, Fedra. Your PTSD might be over after this, because this was one of the greatest scenes in cinematic history.
Oh, and wait a minute. Okay.
And, for sheer insanity.
And during this scene, it's Colin Farrell just kicking so much ass, and they're playing Freebird in the background. It's just incredible. See, now I want to watch that movie.
What year is The Kingsman?
That's a good question. Well, it's not too old. It's I'd say it's within the last 7 years, maybe 6 to 7 years.
The first one, right?
Yeah. You don't have to watch the second one, but the first one is pretty damn good.
I gotta watch them just so I can understand.
Well, you if you enjoy the characters, you might like the second one.
Okay, so Kingsman: The Secret Service, that was in 2014.
I was right, 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll write that down. Taking my notes.
And you'll see Samuel Jack, and the other side is Samuel Jackson.
He was great.
Let's just say it that way. He was great, but you'll see a whole different side of him than you're used to.
And that girl, there's a girl in there that's a villain, and she's got like blades for legs. She is incredible. It's such a great movie, Fedra.
Sheer insanity,
yeah,
but fun.
Okay.
Were you going to say something, Fedra, before I cut you off?
I can't even remember, but...
Sorry.
No, it's all right, but I will consider this homework, and I will report back about what I think about it.
Yes. Anywho. All right, let's get into the news. So their Oscar nominations came out, and wasn't the biggest amount of nominations, but Dune did get a considerable amount of nominations, 10 including Best Picture. Jimmy Kimmel had an issue with the Oscar nominations because he felt that it was wrong that Spider-Man No Way Home did not get nominated for Best Picture. And I'll just say some of what he said. He says, How did Spider-Man No Way Home not get one of the 10 nominations for Best Picture? Forget the fact that the movie made $750 million in the U.S. and is still going. This was a great movie. It wasn't in the top 10 best movies of the year. That was a question mark. There were 3 Spider-Men in it. You're telling me Don't Look Up was better than Spider-Man? Anyway, he went off on it. And
well, Don't Look Up was good, but I don't see it as one of the top 10 films of the year.
Well, it's ridiculous again with how the Academy nominates these damn movies, because it used to be 5 nominations. Now there's 10, like, for Best Picture, which I think is way too much, because you got to realize too, I guess probably last year was not as much as previous years, but a lot of movies did come out, and a lot of them were crappy. I really can't think of too many good movies that came out. So it must have been hard for the Academy to find a good movie to nominate. But I don't think Spider-Man No Way Home deserved to be in the top 10. It wasn't a good movie. Let's get Fedger in here.
It's not Oscar winning. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that they put in a whole lot of money and a whole lot of effects, but it's not. I mean, that's why I rate Marvel movies so low, because they're not Oscar. If we're going toward Oscar, not even Dune is going to get it. I mean, if they get the Best Picture, it's because of the effects. That's clearly it. I mean, if anybody takes an Oscar for acting, you didn't deserve it. I'm sorry. I'm sure that there's better scenes and better films that are Oscar winning than this. You know, I can definitely get it for possibly Best Score, because of course it's Hans. So probably Hans is going to get that for great soundtrack.
Did Hans Zimmer do that one?
I'm pretty sure. I could double check.
I think he did.
I wasn't happy with it. That's why I remembered it. But yeah, let me check.
Or was it Michael Giacchino? I forget. But Fedger is really good at checking on this stuff.
I try, you know.
But I think, you know, the problem. Oh, yep. It was Hans Zimmer.
It was Hans. Yep.
Then I'm disappointed too.
It just wasn't his best. But if he gets the Oscar for that, I will not be surprised, and I won't be surprised about Best Picture as far as the effects. But not for Spider-Man. And I mean, I'm with you, Joe, that I'm not consistent and knowledgeable about what else is in the nominations for the Oscar. I think you forwarded the animation, and I'm going to say now that I highly, highly think it's going to be in Encanto, that's going to get it. Do they deserve it? That's the question for me.
Well, that's the problem too, is like, there are 5 animated movies nominated. It's Encanto, it's Luca, it's Raya and the Last Dragon, and then it's the Mitchells versus the Machines that Lord and Miller did, that did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then there's Flea, which I need to check out the trailer for that. I haven't looked at that, but I'm kind of hoping that that does well, because I wasn't a fan of any of the Disney movies that came out, but it bothers me that, you're right, Encanto will probably walk away with the best animated feature, and it's in the same category as The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, which are far superior movies.
Wow, yeah. That's a stretch.
But that's the whole thing. It's like, it's the luck of the draw. You might be in 1 year where you have zero competition and your crappy movie will win the Oscar. And it could be like that for the major Best Picture category too.
Or it could be like what we've been saying, where that's the one that has the most, you know, boxes checked. And so that's the one that's going to just please everybody. Even though
that would be too bad.
Even the quality and the essence is not even existing in it. But hey, it checks out all the boxes and everybody likes it. So give it an Oscar.
So, Jack, do you think Dune should have been nominated for Best Picture?
Now, you see, Dune is a funny movie for me because I've read the books multiple times. This is the third time around seeing it. I think if this was my first exposure to Dune, I think I would have liked it a lot more and been a lot more impressed with it. But it's the third time around, between reading it and previous movies, that I'm watching the story. I think they did an awesome job on it. However, I don't know if it's Oscar worthy. But then again, there's a lot of movies on this list I don't think are Oscar worthy. I think expanding it to so many movies is just a way to make people feel good. Like we're almost getting to the Oscars being participation awards. You know, let's nominate a bunch of movies so they could all say nominated for, you know, three different awards. You know, they didn't win them, but they're nominated. You know, it just, I don't know. The Oscars, I've really kind of lost interest in since they've started doing all this. Let's expand the categories. But the same thing, Dune, I don't think it usually fits the profile of those stuffy artistic movies that usually are nominated for the Oscars. And being someone who usually doesn't like stuffy, stiff movies, I don't know. It's just, like I said, the Oscars don't really have an appeal for me. I think the last time I was really excited is when you mentioned Beauty and the Beast, Joe, when Beauty and the Beast was up for Best Picture.
Yeah, I was excited too.
And that is to me probably my favorite Disney animated movie of all time. And I would have loved it if it got it, but did it have a chance? Not really. Just because of what the Oscars are. So I don't think Dune should have gotten it. I loved Spider-Man No Way Home, but same thing. I don't think Spider-Man was an Oscar type movie. I could see it winning Golden Globes, but I can't see it winning an Oscar. Right.
Yeah, Golden Globes are for the people. Yeah. Oscars is for art, basically, for writing, directing, acting, like there are actually rules involved with the winning of Oscars. And
yeah, but I think those rules have been relaxed and lost.
They have been.
Under the guise of inclusion and let's just make everybody kind of feel good, you know? So,
well, what bothers me is that who is the Academy? And there are a lot of people on the Academy that I'm like, really? Like Kevin Smith votes for, you know, who wins the Oscar. I wouldn't. If there's some people I think even like during regular elections that maybe they shouldn't vote unless like they could name the candidates. Like I don't think it's right that.
Oh, you're skirting a dangerous line there.
It's true though. You should be able to. Like if you're voting for somebody that's running for president, you should at least know who the vice president is. And there are so many people that just don't know. You just do your research. And I think that should be in the case when you're voting for the Academy Awards too, because I know a lot of these people, they don't even watch all the movies that are nominated, but if they seen this one movie that they really like Kevin Smith, I'm sure won Spider-Man No Way Home to win Best Picture. But, you know, getting back to Jimmy Kimmel, he blows where the wind blows. That guy, he's just a huge kiss ass, and he just wants to please the most popular sector. That so many people loved Spider-Man No Way Home. He's like, hey, how come it wasn't nominated, huh? Am I right? This isn't fair. We should storm the whole Academy and say that this deserves to win the Oscar.
Well, I think it should get technical awards.
Oh, yeah. No, I do, too.
But I don't think it should be nominated for, like, a Best Picture.
Right. That's what I see here. Like, under visual effects, they have Dune, Free Guy, No Time to Die, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man No Way Home. So that's
All those movies.
So that's going to be really close. I would say if I was judging, I would go and look at Free Guy, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man No Way Home. That's just me personally. I mean, Dune is there, but if we're going to go like really into visual effects, I think all three of those films were pretty darn good.
I would say for me, probably Dune, because the whole thing with good visual effects is you don't even know it's a visual effect. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure most of that movie was filmed, you know, behind a green screen. Like we're able to pick out bad CGI. And that's why good CGI just really isn't given the credit that it deserves. Because again, we don't even know that it's CGI. Like somebody might CGI like a, you know, like steps leading into a house and we have no idea because they just don't push it. But yeah, this Oscars this year, I think is going to suck because the last few years, they just get too political too. I think it's an honor to be nominated. And if you win, you know, I think you should definitely thank the people that work with you, the people that hired you to perform that role or be in that position that you're in to accept the award. And, you know, thank the people that seen the movie. But once you start getting like into politics or pushing social issues, it's like they need to have the orchestra start playing or a big, what is that, like crooked stick come out and pull the Christmas.
We'll pull you off.
What else? So yeah, I told you guys that Disney made an announcement that the Obi-Wan Kenobi series is premiering on May 25th on Disney Plus. So are you guys looking forward to it?
Yes, most definitely.
I'm actually a little worried about it. After the finale of Boba Fett, which we'll talk about in a bit, I'm kind of losing a bit of faith in Star Wars on Disney Plus.
Don't give away your cards yet, Jack.
I mean, John Farrell better not be doing this one. Let's have somebody else for sure.
What was that?
I said it better not be John Farrow though writing this. It should be somebody else.
When we talk about it, I'll say more.
Okay. I think this should have been a movie. I don't think it should have been a series. I think it originally was supposed to be a movie, and I think so was Boba Fett was supposed to be a movie. But after Solo didn't do well at the box office, they're like, "All right, wait a minute, we need to kind of reevaluate what we're going to do with Star Wars," and we got Disney Plus coming up, so we'll use that as a series. That's why I think it's like a load of crap. Every time Disney Plus has a series, like the several Marvel series that they had on there, you're like, oh, it was a huge success, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't imagine that it resulted in more revenue than if that movie was a movie and was successful. I just think that they pump up, you know, the importance of like these series.
Well, it could be a success by broadcast standards, you know, but it would never make it in a theatrical release.
Like I remember like when Wonder Woman, I keep forgetting the dates. Is it Wonder Woman 88 or 84?
I think it was 84.
Okay. We'll say it was 84. So yeah, that one had tons of streaming people tuning in to see that because like it was kind of at the height of COVID and that was coming to HBO Max and that was supposed to be in the theater. So everybody tuned in to see it. And Warner Brothers was like, it was a huge success, but everybody hated it. I don't know anyone that had seen that movie that walked away from it and said, now that was a good sequel. I mean, I think a lot of people said that had to be the worst DC movie that they've done so far. But for some reason, because so many people tuned in, they could ignore the fact of what people thought about it and all they're concerned about. If this was released in the movies, it probably still would have done well, but you would have read the reviews first and listened to your friends that have gone and seen it. And if they said it was crap, you're like, maybe I'll wait for this to come on cable or like what Jack does, TBS, you know?
Yeah.
See, Jack, I got a little difference with this. Well, I'm not a huge fan of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't think he's a very good actor. I think he's got his moments, but I'd say he's got less moments than more moments. And I never bought him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. I guess part of it had to do with the fact that to me, Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and those are pretty big shoes to fill. And but I guess for some people too, this was their first viewing of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like if you were younger and you hadn't seen the other Star Wars movies, this was your Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he was cooler, and the fact that he was able to do things and just not stand there like holding a broomstick, like with unfortunately Alec Guinness had to do. But it's just, I don't think he's very good in the role. I know people are going to say, oh, you're wrong, but that's just me.
Now you see, I think he's terrific. Star Wars, in Star Wars and out of Star Wars. And he's not the problem which casts doubt on whether this Obi-Wan series is going to be good. It's once again the material he'll have to work with. And I thought Favreau was the savior of Star Wars for a while. Now I'm just not too sure.
We'll get into that.
I don't want to blow into our topic early or anything, but I hope it's good. I hope it's more than just Obi-Wan hanging out on the dunes with macro binoculars watching Luke run around as a kid. So I hope there's more to it than that, but we'll have to see in May. At least we have a date.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like this, similar to Boba Fett, where there's going to be flashbacks where we're going to see him with Hayden Christensen during the Clone Wars, or maybe even earlier than that. Probably would be hard, although they both look kind of young, or they can CGI them to be youthful. And then it'll go to the modern time where he's protecting Luke. Probably have a couple of scenes with him. I think Leia is supposed to be in it too, which that kind of bothers me if like she happens to show up on the planet and he ends up buying the two of them ice cream cones or something.
Oh, yeah. No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got a trailer for it during the Super Bowl too. But we'll see.
I don't know. I'm not digging the mini trailer stuff we're getting during the Olympics right now. You know, with the little dinosaurs hopping up and running around. I don't know. I'm not digging that.
All right, let's get into trailers then.
Okay.
So what's the deal? What are you talking about, the mini dinosaurs?
You haven't seen the Olympic commercials where, you know, the athletes are doing events. For example, they're doing downhill skiing, and all of a sudden a T-Rex bursts out of the trees and like starts following them, chasing them.
Nope. I haven't watched too much of the Olympics.
Or one of the guys is ice skating, and when dinosaurs come out and they have like a stare down, one of the peaceful dinosaurs, I forget the name of it, with the curved bone piece on its head.
Oh, well, I think I know why, because it's Universal owns NBC, or NBC owns Universal.
Yeah, but they're all just kind of...
They're not Jurassic Park? They're not Jurassic Park dinosaurs?
No, they are Jurassic Park dinosaurs. I mean, it's the T-Rex from Jurassic Park World, all those movies that come out.
Well, I guess that's... What they're pushing is this Jurassic World Dominion, which the trailer just came out today.
Right.
Did you guys watch it?
No.
I haven't gotten to see it. I just got my computer up and running.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Like, what does dinosaurs have anything to do with the Olympics?
Exactly.
Well, if ABC was doing it, they might push some of their Disney characters, like incorporate them in the Olympics. So I guess like, what Universal has is dinosaurs. I don't know when this movie is coming out. It's coming out this year. Oh, June 10th. So they're probably trying to push all the awareness that there's going to be a new Jurassic World movie. I will say I saw the trailer. I thought it looked pretty decent. I saw the first Jurassic World movie with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. and it was meh. And it made a lot of money. It made over $1 billion. But I would say it was better than the other two sequels that Jurassic Park had. But it wasn't fantastic. This one looks interesting because they're bringing back the old cast, like Sam Neill. Let's hold those names. Laura Dern.
Laura Dern.
And Jeff Goldblum. So, and you see them in the trailer. And it's kind of fun to see that they're all back. Because in the previous movies, they were all in different movies. Like, I think Goldblum was in the second one. And
Sam Neill was in the third.
Yeah, so it's nice to have them all back. And I think they're working with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. So I think, you know, check out the trailer. I'm definitely going to go see it just based on the trailer, just to see, like, the old gang back.
Well, it's a summer movie. Dinosaurs show up, dinosaurs chase people, dinosaurs eat people.
Well, I didn't see
run away. Lots of screaming, terror, action. Perfect summer movies.
Well, I didn't see the sequel to Jurassic World. But this one.
But I've given you the plot just now.
No, I'm just saying.
Dinosaurs show up, chase people, eat people, people run away. Terror, chaos, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Like if they did Jaws 3 with the Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, I would be excited about that, you know, back in the day. So it's kind of cool to see that the old gang is back. Although, like I said, Laura Dern, her neck, someone must have done something to her. I think like she was either in some kind of accident where maybe she had a noose around her neck and they just pulled it because it is long. Like, she should play a voice of giraffe. I think that she should have been in Zootopia as the giraffe lady. Not saying that's a bad thing. No, I like long. I like, I'm not going to go that far.
I like Laura Dern, but she's got the neck of a giraffe. No, I was going to say,
no, I like girls with long necks. Sorry. I do. Although hers is pretty damn long. Anyway, Frederick, did you see any of the, did you see Jurassic World or the sequel?
I saw some of the sequels. I don't know. I think I avoided Jurassic World just because it was like the sequels were just getting worse and worse. And just like Jack said, it was the same old. So I just can't.
Jurassic World was fun.
It was kind of like a reboot Jurassic World.
Yeah, but it was fun. I mean, it was goofy. It was wacky. It was fun. The second Jurassic World, that one was a little different. That one was a little, it was just kind of different. But
I didn't see it.
The first Jurassic World, I think it was Fallen Kingdom or something. That's when the dinosaurs really get loose on the mainland. But the first Jurassic World was fun. You know, somebody makes a park with dinosaurs. They get loose. They start chasing people, eating people. People run away in mass hysteria. So
I think what this one's going to be, I didn't see the second one, but it seems to me from the trailer that nature is finding its way in which the world's going to be overrun with dinosaurs again. Where they've gotten their DNA into different countries. And it's probably going to end in a very apocalyptic sort of way where they now are the, I don't know if they, you would call them superior species, but we're screwed. You know, because there's no way to get rid of them. They're all over the place. They're like rats, you know, in the subways and all that. And I think, again, watch the trailer. It's pretty good. You going to say something, Fedra?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see the original crew, so I will check out the trailer. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch it. We'll see what the trailer looks like.
So another trailer that came out was Lightyear.
That's looking good.
Do you like that, Fedra?
I've not seen it yet. But I saw that there was a cat in the ship. So that's.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. Just that one part. I'm sure that was Disney's like,
yeah.
Can we get something that we can mass produce and sell in our parks and on Walmart, you know, Walmart and Amazon, and that it's going to be very expensive if you want the most authentic version of it? Because I think that that's why that cat was thrown in there for. It's kind of like a, you know, a Siri, but it's a cat. I'm sure everybody's going to want to have one for next Christmas. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised with this trailer. I didn't like the teaser, but this trailer looks pretty good. It definitely has me more interested in it. And I was kind of uncertain about Chris Evans replacing Tim Allen as the voice. And I think I'll get used to it, you know, the more I watch the movie. And at one point, he does sound a little bit like him. But for the most part, I would say he doesn't. You know, he's his own person.
I wonder why they didn't bring Tim Allen back, though.
I still say it was political. Because, again, I go on these boards and I kind of look at like what some of the woke people say. And they had nothing good to say about Tim Allen. It's like when they learned that Chris Evans was replacing him, they're like, finally, we'll finally have a good Buzz Lightyear. I couldn't stand Tim Allen. And he goes, and plus he's a disgusting human being.
For the record, if they didn't have Tom Hanks and Tim Allen together, it would not have been a successful Toy Story.
Very true.
So, yeah, they're
very much so.
Yeah. That again, that's a classic, and it was a fantastic movie. You cannot say that Tim Allen did a bad job in that movie. Otherwise, you were completely biased.
Well, again, I even like Patrick Warburton as Buzz Lightyear.
Hmm.
You know, when they did the animated show, which was actually, I have to say, that was pretty enjoyable for what it was. You know, it wasn't Toy Story, but it was a spinoff, and that was an enjoyable show.
The chemistry between the two of them, I mean, you just can't recreate that. Sorry. I mean, you have to bring them two together, or that's it. I mean, and, you know, you don't have to have that in every, you know, single Toy Story film.
Right.
But, you know, I'm open to Chris Evans. But again, you know, I think it's a very cheap shot for them to do that to Tim Allen.
Although they did, I think they're doing a Santa Claus series on Disney Plus with Tim Allen. So it's not like the powers that be completely hate him. But I still think it was political because they just don't like his views. Not that they're horrible views and not that he goes broadcasting them all the time, but it's just the way Hollywood works now, unfortunately.
And well, I mean, it's going to be a very rude awakening because, you know, you keep doing this long enough, depending on the generation, some character, some actor, some singer, some celebrity that you really like, that you actually idolize, is going to be torn apart in front of you. And then you're never going to see them again in anything because a group of people just decided to like just wash them out. So, I mean, just to be the voice of truth here and just get really real, like it's going to happen because you can't please everybody. So one of these days it's going to be somebody that you guys love and then you're going to feel it. And I hope that you sit with that feeling because a lot of us that really like Tim Allen really feel like this is really not appropriate really to do if it's based on what you say, Joe. If it's really about politics, I mean, shame on the people making that decision. Sorry.
No, you're right. Don't have to apologize for that because you're right. Although I said when I first saw the teaser, I don't think I would have been more interested in if Tim Allen was in it, although it would have been more accurate. But I will say that it does intrigue me that Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, is the voice of Buzz Lightyear. So maybe that's what Disney was thinking too. It's like, you know, we need somebody fresh in there that somebody seemed to all like, and maybe that'll draw a new audience for it. But I think animation wise, it looks very, very good. I'm hoping it's good. I haven't seen a good Pixar movie in a long time. So it was Coco was the last one that I'd seen. So hopefully this will be not as good as Coco, but a decent movie.
Well, you want it to be as good as Coco. You want it to be good.
It's not going to be as good as Coco. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, let's see. It's just a different movie. It's, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that Buzz Lightyear is going to go have the same journey as, I forget his name. It wasn't Coco.
But I mean, I did love the first opening bit in, was it Toy Story 2? We just got to see Buzz Lightyear's solar.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. So I hope it's like that for 90 minutes.
So I'm sure that if this is successful, that they'll be making a Woody movie. So we'll see what happens there, because Tom Hanks is beloved by Hollywood. And now if they ask him back and they don't hire a new actor, then you can question, was it political for sure? Because more than likely it was. Yeah, right.
There's a snake in my boot.
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
Let's get into the main topic here. So, the Book of Boba Fett. It was a series finale.
Yeah.
All right, Jack is dying to give his piece.
Yeah, you know that the song at the end just kind of got me. Have they been chanting Boba Fett since the show's been on? Yeah.
Did they really? Did they chant Boba Fett? Did they? I gotta go back and watch that now. No, seriously.
Genius. Genius composing. Genius.
Oh my god, I have to watch that.
They were taking a shower and all of a sudden they're like, that's what I'm gonna do. We're going to put all these effects together and then they will chant.
Was that at the end?
Yeah, the end credits.
Yep.
There were actually words for Boba Fett. Oh my God. That,
you know, I remember like the credits say the, but this one is right up. Boba Fett.
All right, so Jack, I guess.
Unleash the rancor within Jack.
I don't want to rant, but what the hell was Jabba's job? I thought Jabba was a crime lord. Jabba was this mean, rotten guy who did everything in the underbelly of the cities to make money and just control everything through corruption and all this. That now that Boba Fett has taken over the job, people are waving at him in the streets and fruit gifts. I mean, did anybody ever bring Jabba a fruit basket? Maybe he wouldn't have been so ornery with, you know, eating the frogs all the time. I don't know. I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, well, he wanted to get this, and yeah, he was going to do things different. But now he's like, these are my people. I can't abandon them. They're not supposed to be looked at as people. They're supposed to be an exploitable resource to put money in your pocket. If you're a crime lord like this, you're not worried about, you know, oh no, the Pikes, they might blow up some of these homes and these people will be homeless. This is not what a crime lord worries about. You know, he'd be more upset that the cantina was blown up because he's missing his cut. You know, I don't get what Boba Fett's job is supposed to be. He's not the mayor of Mon Espa. He's not. He's the crime lord. He's supposed to be the guy looking to get a cut out of everybody and threatening them for protection from him. you know, what is Boba Fett's job? I don't get it, because it's not replacing Jabba. There was that. Once again, the scooter utes, you know, they're like going around like, oh, we have to get somewhere. They probably could have walked faster. You know, I think, not walked, but given a light jog, they would have moved faster, because they're going on their scooters next to people who are walking, and they're not really going that much faster than the people walking. I don't know.
All right, we'll give us a rating.
I would give this probably a 4.
All right. And we'll get it.
Score.
We'll get more into it, you know, in a few minutes. But let's hear Fedra. What did you think, Fedra?
I agree with Jack. This is a 4 or 5 episode. It checked off everything. I mean, I had to text you while I was watching it, because it was just ridiculous. I'm just watching this and I'm like, dang it, he's right again. I don't like it when Joe is right, you know? It's like, because it just sucks then, you know? It's like, you were right.
It sucks then.
Well, because
sucks that I'm right, or sucks that the show sucks?
Both, you know, because you want it to be good. And yeah, I don't want you to be right all the time. I'm grown enough to admit that, you know. I mean, sometimes when you're right, it's like, yeah, you're right. But sometimes it's like, I don't want you to be right. And this was one of them. I didn't want to see Boba riding the Rancor and that whole thing. You were right. And then when they had Grogu come in with the vest, I'm like, all right, I'm thinking he's going to do a fair fight or whatever. No, he just comes off as just this whiny amateur little kid. I was like, there he goes again. He's right. And then the Utes. The Utes were ridiculous. They couldn't even fight. They're like, oh, help, we're ambushed. I don't know what to do. It's like,
oh, but even like, speaking of the Utes,
go ahead. Yeah.
They're pinned down by the Pike gang. And like the one with the long trench coat has to do this little spinning duck to turn around and shoot somebody.
I was going to bring that up.
Like, what the hell is that? Like, no, you have your gun pointed at the guy. Rather than just pull the trigger, you're going to do this little spin first. Like, really? Yeah, like, what? Like, I'm watching. I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
When I saw that, I thought that was a Michael Jackson move, and he was going to start moonwalking after that. It just made no sense for him to do that. It's like, like you said, Jack, if he's pointing the gun at the guy, why does he need to spin around? Like, for flair, I guess. And again, whoever's writing this or directing it,
John Favreau wrote it.
And Robert Rodriguez had directed it. They just don't get Star Wars.
Now, Bryce Howard
had. Yeah, I'll agree. She was
would have been much better. And the thing is, Boba Fett riding the Rancor was one of the things that bothered me the least in watching this show. As hokey as hell as it was, that bothered me less than 95% of the rest of the episode.
All right, Fedra, back to you.
Back to you.
Well, what's worse is that, to me, I rather watch Fennec. Fennec was more interesting in this episode than anybody else. I'm like, go to it. Take them down one by one. You hang that mare. You know, I was there. I'm like, all right. You know, but then when you see everybody else, I mean, Boba's soft and weak. And then even the Mandalorian, like, I mean, that was just ridiculous. I could not see the Mandalorian on the ground above this Rancor, and between these two, Grogu puts him to sleep. Now, granted, that is a technical Jedi skill. It is.
That is a force power. They do have good control over animals, so they can put them to sleep like that.
I mean, that was nice, but I just don't see that happening with the Mandalorian. That could have been anybody else on the floor, and I'd be okay. But not Mando. Nope. And with the Utes again, It's like they had to rely on the Freetown people, where they're supposed to be rougher because aren't they the city folks and this is their city and they should know how the city works and they should know how to get around and know what to do. No.
Aren't they supposed to be like a biker gang?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Nothing. They just looked like kids trying, I guess. Like, I mean, it was cute with the assistant going out there and like distracting them in the beginning. Here, I'm thinking that, you know, something else is going to come off it. But I was also, I didn't like also that, I guess we call him Christian. Christian didn't even seem tougher. It seemed like that all the other, you know, enemy had the upper hand, where I always thought that, you know, based on that species, I keep wanting to say Chewy, but that's Chewy. But the species itself, I thought were just much tougher, much ferocious.
Well, you know, it was weird. Like when he was down, Boba Fett went up to him and called him Santo. What was that about? Did you guys notice that?
Well, that was like an abbreviation of, you know, like a nickname they built out of Crisanto, whatever the heck his name is.
Oh, so he calls him Santo, like almost saint-like.
No, I think that was just an abbreviation somehow, like Chewy to Chewbacca, but...
Italian name, too. Maybe it was Italian.
Hey, Santo, get up. Sit down. Stop resting. But, yeah.
Well, I will say I'll agree with you guys. I'll give it a 4-2. And you're right, Fedra. You know, with Fennec, she was more interesting in this last episode than Boba was. And I think that that's the problem is, and we don't know if it's Disney interfering, but I think that this could have been a better show if Fennec wasn't in it. But what they did is they took Boba Fett, the character that we knew, and they split him up and they made two characters. They made Boba Fett light and Fennec. Fennec was the hard ass of what Boba Fett used to be.
Yes.
This new Boba Fett was the soft version, you know, the more grandfather, fatherly like ruler that he was. But, and it's funny because I overuse this word. I kept saying soft, but when you watch this series, several people tell him he's soft. And yes. I think it was it Cad Bane that said, you know, you went soft?
Yes, he did.
And then Boba Fett says something like, well, we all do as we get old.
As we get old, yeah.
It's like, not everybody does, especially Boba Fett. They committed, Disney and Lucasfilm committed murder on the character Boba Fett with this series, because he is not the character that people love. It's kind of like when Lucas, when he changed the whole Han shooting Greedo scene, and his excuse was like, well, I didn't want people to think that Han was a bad guy. It's like, well, he's not a complete bad guy, but, you know, he wasn't honorable. You know, he was kind of like a scumbag at times before.
He's in the gray area.
Yeah. You know, it's, you don't have to make him completely good. And that's what they did with Boba Fett, is that they had to make him completely good. Like Jack had said, like with the fruit giving and the bowing and the hugs. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
good Lord.
But the same thing, like you mentioned soft, like I, through most of the show, I didn't think he was soft. I think he was just tired and world weary. That's what I thought. I didn't think it was soft. I think he was just tired of it. But here's the same thing. He's talking to Cad Bane in the street. He knows Cad Bane is just a bad guy. He's a killer for hire. So he's got his gun pointed at him. And then Cad Bane is like, well, let's settle this the old-fashioned way. You know, so the minute like Cad Bane went to like pull his coat back to get a, you know, a clear reach for his blaster, why didn't Boba Fett just shoot him? He knew he wasn't as fast. you know, like a Han Solo moment. Like, yeah, no, I'm not going to wait for you to draw.
That would not be right. You're right.
You know, like the same thing. Greedo, you know, has the gun. You know, he's waving it towards Han and Han shoots him. Okay. Why would Boba Fett wait to give this guy a fair chance when he knows that this guy is scum? Like, why? I couldn't figure it out. You know, and then I was like, yeah, Boba Fett deserved to get shot. He did. And same thing. If this guy's a quick draw, you know, quick draw gunslinger, and he has his gun pointed at Boba Fett's head, how does Boba Fett have enough time to reach around, grab a stick, and hit him with it?
Mm-hmm.
And why did they kill him off? He was like one of the most interesting characters.
I think he was brought back. I think he was a disposable guy.
You think so?
Yeah, he was like a thug for hire. He was disposable. But the thing is, like I said, Boba Fett wasn't fast enough to shoot him with the gun in his hand, but he has time to reach around and grab a bantha stick and whack him and stab him. Like, why? Like, you know, was the sun in Cad Bane's eyes all of a sudden? Like, it wasn't like he was distracted. It's just Boba Fett moved that quick at that moment to hit him with the stick.
I think they were trying to show that it was similar to what happened with Darth Maul and Obi-Wan. He was overconfident, maybe. But let his defense down. Although I don't know, you know, I agree with you, but
I just don't get it. Like, if this guy is fast enough to draw a gun and fire, as soon as Boba Fett twitched, Boba Fett should have been shot. You know, he wouldn't have time to reach over, grab the stick, swing it around. He wouldn't have time for that. But I guess it was made for a dramatic moment so Boba Fett could actually kill somebody.
Mm.
But
yeah, that's a switch.
Just one more point why this finale was just ridiculous.
I mean, I liked the scene when Mando and Bobo were up in the air and they were, you know, fighting from the sanctuary and shooting.
That was kind of cool.
Like, that moment I was really happy to see. But I feel like we're all saying something, you know, similar, where I feel that just from watching this change of Boba, that
did know. Anybody else expect when the Rancor climbed up the tower that the scooter youths would start circling around him?
No, I was hoping that he was going to grab Jennifer Beals, you know, and it'd be like King Kong.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking the scooter youths were going to be like the biplanes while King Kong is on, you know, the tower, that we'd see like maybe a scooter ute or two get crashed. You know.
Oh, but one did finally crash, and I was happy at least one of them got destroyed, because it just doesn't make sense that they would all be perfect and none of them would get damaged. I mean, that doesn't make sense when you're having a full-on war fight in the middle of town.
But even that, they could have shown the stakes. If here they are, they're cyborgs with robotic pieces.
Yeah.
Why didn't the, like, vest chick, like, get her robot arm blown off? It's not like it couldn't be replaced. Mm. Or the guy with the little spike leg, all of a sudden, you know, he's hopping on one leg because the spike got blown off. Like, even just put in that little moment of danger, like, oh crap, something happened to them. We didn't even get to see that, but.
It's also this, like, I don't know, it's just, it may be just me, but I just see this as another very specific, very repeated narrative that's just put into all these hero movies. And that's just to remind everyone that if you pause, or if you try to forgive, or if you do any kind of peaceful manner, then you're soft and you're weak. And the only way that you're strong is if you have a weapon. You're gigantic. You're rude, you're mean, and you're deceitful, then, you know, you're like all powerful. And I'm personally tired of that. I would like to see more of that gray area, like Han. Like, Han is a great gray area character to show. I'm sure there's others, but I just can't come up with it now. Where I'd like to see more of that, showing that the fact that this is a huge galaxy with so many different species and so many different languages and weighing to move on these planets, and yet they all act exactly the same. I just, like, to me, like, we need to change this up. We need to go back to that. I feel like in this series, it's just not really Star Wars. It's more like an action mob series in Star Wars. And it's not even showing Boba. Like, they're trying to make Boba into this king. And I agree with both of you. He's not a king. He's a crime boss. And there's a huge difference. So, you know, showing, you know, the townspeople at the end all, like, happy and thanking him. It's like, it doesn't resonate at all because, yeah, he saved your guys' lives, but your complete livelihood is gone. Your town is completely destroyed. And what's going to happen then? You know, Mando has left with the kid. I don't know where the heck they're going. Maybe to that mine thing. You know, but Fennec seems to be ruling more so than Boba, which is, again, completely backwards.
I would have loved it again.
They had a kumbaya moment at the end.
What's that?
They had their kumbaya moment where, you know, the heroes of the crime family all meet on the street and they share a melon. Like, what? Like, it's like, these are underworld criminal people. They're not supposed to be just hanging out and high-fiving in the street. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, if you and go even, back,
even when they had the chance. Like, I was hoping when the mayor's assistant went outside with the note, you know, he starts reading it and it says, yes, Boba Fett would be interested in hearing the terms of your surrender, you know, rather than just like nothing.
Yeah,
like,
and then they should have shot him.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, exactly. Why are even the pipes are,
it's like, they're like, it's like, he said that, you go tell Boba Fett we're not agreeing.
You go right. Tell him.
Yeah, right. Well, you, if you go back,
go in there and straighten it out.
If you also go back to the episode right when they're, you know, finishing and the people are eating the fruit, you'll also notice that the music is very Renaissance. So again, why are you showing this, like, medieval way in a Star Wars film? Doesn't make sense. It's not fitting.
The problem with all of this and what we're seeing a lot with DC and Marvel and Star Wars is that they're not fans of the characters. They're woke writers that basically they want the characters to reflect who they are or who they want them to be. That's why, again, like when we see Superman, they decide to make him you know, bisexual or gay, his son, and that he's fighting for the environment and that he's fighting for immigrants entering this country. That's not necessarily, not that Superman wouldn't do that, but he would also do other things. Like, again, like he would have a love for this country, warts and all. And it's kind of like that I feel like they're doing with Star Wars, is that they're not hiring actual people that know the history behind Star Wars and the characters and that are actual fans of the series. They're hiring people that do have an agenda, that want the world to be a certain way. And that's why everybody in this series was soft. Even Fennec, I know you guys say she's the hardest character, which she is, but it would have been nice, like at times when she's about to shoot somebody and then Boba says, no, wait, you know, she shoots him anyway. I would have loved to seen that. I would have loved if she killed Boba Fett at the end and she took over and she just said something like that. You're no ruler. I'll be the ruler that you should have been.
I completely agree, because to me, if I was writing this and I had to clean this up, you know, I turn it around where at the end, you know, Boba's like, all right, we got this planet. Which planet's next?
Yeah.
You know, and just clean house, basically, and just have like a whole map and realize that this is a part of a whole other plan for him to maybe take over or to maybe gather up other bounty hunters and go in a different route based on what he wants and what, you know, his goals are. Like, that would make more sense to me than what's happening right now.
Or even, you don't even go that route. Have him sitting on his throne and here's a line of people coming in, dropping off tribute.
That's what it should have been. But he got very soft very quickly. I think the series really should have been him just being a bounty hunter. No Fennec, just him going, you know, to planet, going after bounties, you know, maybe getting involved with other things other than just getting bounties. But he should have been a really cool character, a killer, hard ass, you know, that and is as tough as you can be. Like one of the toughest bounty hunters out there. He was not the toughest bounty hunter. You know, I was going to also mention Frederick when you said you thought it was cool that Mando and him were flying around the sanctuary. I'm surprised he can get his fat ass off with that jetpack because he's so fat. You know, that was another thing. I don't understand why they're like, oh, it's the original. We got the original. Please tell him to get in shape before you do this role. That's what made it kind of unbelievable, too, is that. First of all, like every time I see him in that, you know, his Boba Fett outfit, I laugh because it doesn't fit him anymore. It's just a myth. And I think that he was one of the worst aspects of the show, too. Part of it, again, was writing, but he's not much of an actor, too. He's just not very good. And I think that the whole idea with the scooter youths is somebody had to have this idea. It's like we need a diverse group of young, fresh characters that we want modeled after today's society, where there's no real gender involved with them. Because if you look at them, you know, I guess you could tell this is a boy or a girl, but that wasn't, you know, overly extreme. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like where they stood out. It just seemed to me they were very gender neutral, like the four of them. And then they had like these nice little scooters that were, you know, all different colors.
I think part of my problem with that whole concept is the same way as the sand people for me. If those guys had been on speeder bikes, not as dressy, everything had that kind of beat up look like the rest of Tatooine, I think I would have had a lot easier time of like, hey, you know, they've got like these cyborg biker gang. You know, they don't need to be, you know, Mad Max Road Warrior types. But the fact that, yeah, you know what? Okay, at least they can move in their little speeder bikes versus scooters. You know, and the bright colors, it just didn't go. These are supposed to be people who can't afford a drink of water. And they have these nice, shiny...
Yeah, sell your bikes.
Yeah, like, but they're on Tatooine. Everything should be dusty. It's a desert.
I never thought I would see those colors in Tatooine, too, because you never saw them before. So it's like, where did they get them? Like, how did they get the bikes? Did they order them through a catalog? Because
Give them colors or something? That's fine. Give them colors, but have them beat up like everything else is in Star Wars. Everything looks used. Everything looks on Tatooine, looks dusty. They have to fit the environment.
No, that's true.
And like, we have to get across town. And like I said, they're hardly moving faster than people walking. Like, come on, you know, Fennec had said, guys, you got to be able to go more than the speed of a light jog on these things. You know, we need you to get here quicker. You know, here's a couple of bucks. Buy yourself a speeder bike or something. You know, but no, we have high-speed scooter chases. there's no drama in it.
I think what they did too is they checked all the boxes too, and they were building Boba's army. Again, the writers, they're like, well, we'll have the Gamorrean guards for the people that were fans of the original trilogy, you know, and then we'll also throw in like a Wookiee or two and, you know, but all these different characters. But we also need to bring in this new group for the new people that, you know, don't associate with the old characters, and they want to feel that they're represented in the world of Star Wars. But everybody hated them, and I'm sure that
the Gamorreans. These guys showed themselves to be faithful to Boba Fett, and he still won't give them any damn clothes.
Well, didn't they have clothes on the other day? Last episode. Well, maybe they like it that way. It's hot there.
Armor on. They're big lumbering things. These guys, they're still running around in diapers. And sandals. Like, gee, Boba Fett, why would anybody even want to go work for him if he won't even give him any clothes to wear? I just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess bottom line, it just, this last episode was pretty bad. It was a mess. And I guess we are going over the series too. The series was a mess as a whole. I think the only saving grace that we had during this series was we did get a glimpse into The Mandalorian season 3.
Ah, and remember I had said when we talked about that a couple episodes ago, how I didn't think Luke sounded right.
I said that.
I remember saying that too, but it was. Here it is. We're at the stage where we're totally making synthetic actors. That is incredible. And I mean,
scary too.
It's scary, but it's incredible that we've come to that. That, like, no, we didn't just like de-age Mark Hamill. Now, de-aging him was too much work. So now we've completely just synthesized him.
Well, they didn't de-age him either. What they basically did is they had a stand-in doing his body, and then they just CGI'd his face.
Right. They had the guy that did that YouTube video of his version of what Luke Skywalker should have looked like, and Lucasfilm was smart and hired him because he did such a better job on Luke Skywalker and Leia at the end of Rogue One that they were like, you know what? Give this guy a job. Bring him in. Make him work for us. And at least they're getting the talent, but I was kind of turned off by the fact that not only did they mimic the look, but now that they're mimicking the voice acting as well. Fedra, you're right. I just think that's kind of unnerving and a bit scary.
Yeah, it's crossing a lot of lines.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I also wanted to ask you guys, I could not recognize who's in that ending credit.
Oh, that was the cowboy.
Oh, in the tub?
Yeah, in the tub.
Okay. And also,
that anyway.
What's that?
What was the point of that anyway?
Well, I told you he wasn't dead because, like, you know, the deputy was dead, you know, the previous episode. The other guy, you know, I forget his name. But, you know, he came, everybody, the town folks ran over to him and, like, were, you know, trying to sop up his blood and everything. And I was like, he'll be back. And that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to make him a cyborg version of the character he once was. He's going to be a little better. He'll get his own series. And
well, that's the other thing, like, I wanted to mention. And, you know, this is, you know, I'll probably get hated on for this, and that's okay, because it's like, how could you say this and you're a musician? I mean, I read about Thundercat, and Thundercat is a Grammy bass player who worked with Kendrick Lamar. I love Kendrick Lamar's work. I really don't know who Thundercat is, but he's playing the cyborg doctor artist. I mean, he's not really done anything except just kind of be a stand-in actor. What I mean by that, there's no dialogue, there's no writing, there's no background of him, but he's just kind of put there. So I thought that was really weird that at the very last scene, he's in it with the cowboy in the tub.
I think he was in it before.
He's in episode Gathering Storm, the fourth episode.
Yeah, but, so you see like, him healing, what's her name? Fennec.
But he doesn't really say much either. But this is another thing like that I have an issue with. Like they've done this in other series where they just throw in a celebrity just randomly and just see if it sticks and it works. And again, I feel like it's about that list again. It's like, okay, we need diverse people and we need, you know, strong female moment. We have to have that cheesy, you know, woman power again. And now we have to have a famous, you know, celebrity in there that, you know, the youths will recognize. And that's why they'll want to watch it. And it's like, no, like you should be watching Star Wars because you're down with Star Wars. You love Star Wars. It's not because there's this fit of some diverse group or there happens to be some famous actor or famous artist. Like, I'm sorry. That's just not what it should be about for you to engage in the series. This is for Star Wars fans. Otherwise, I don't know why you decided to make a Star Wars series about Boba and then you put all this other gook in it. It's like it's just not cool. I don't want to, you know, say, you know, negative things about Thundercat because I don't know him, I don't know his work, but it's just randomly in there. Like I literally researched this to find out who he is because I was like, why are you in here? And maybe that's the goal. It's like, oh, you know, you don't know who this is. So now we want to market you. So that way people will look at your music. And this is going to be another way for people to, you know who you are. But it's like, don't do that to Star Wars.
Well, I'll tell you why they did it. It's because the way this world is right now, you know, and Disney knows this, they know social media is important. So people will be watching the episode and like, they'll go, oh, hashtag Thundercat, you know, and then people will start liking it and then they'll start retweeting hashtag Thundercat. That's Thundercat, you know, and like they push it and push it and push it and that it gets a lot of buzz on social media. And I don't know if that's actually happened, but that's what I'm assuming why they do. I almost said a bad word. Yep. Stuff like that is that they bring in celebrities that maybe we don't know, but like maybe the younger generation knows. So they'll create buzz and then the powers of the bee are just sitting with a smile on their face. It's trending. It's trending on Twitter. This is great. This is just what we wanted to do. Cause now Thundercat fans will start watching the show, you know, regardless of whether or not they like Star Wars. And yeah, it's just a bunch of BS. And it's going to be like that for a long time because that's what Hollywood is doing. Not only with Star Wars, but, you know, movies and TV series, but there will be a savior one day that's going to come along. We're going to have another Quentin Tarantino that is going to bring us out of I wouldn't say this is the darkness. They're going to bring us into the darkness, you know, where we're going to enjoy the stuff that we used to, because right now it's too fluffy and lovey and happy. Star Wars really shouldn't be that way. It should be a mixture of things. You got to have a balance, like where not all the bad guys have to be good, but maybe some of the good guys can be a little bad, like you said, Fedra, like with Han Solo, and who was the other one you were talking? Was it Boba Fett? Mm-hmm. Well, you said like, you know, they need to show their bad side.
Yeah, sometimes. I think it's showing that gray in well, I was saying generalizing the whole galaxy. I mean, that's how, you know, as young as I was, I could understand the difference between Boba, Jabba, Darth Vader, Palpatine. Like, it was very clear the depth of their characters and their motives. Like, now it's just filled with all these itty-bitty narratives accumulating into these specific narratives that I'm just like, this isn't the character. And that's why I'm being so hard on this, because it's like, I love Star Wars and, you know, this isn't Star Wars. And, you know, I just putting people in there for the sake of trending, like, God, that is so commercial and so fake. Like, is that what we're really getting into? Then I'm with Jack. I mean, then why get excited about Obi-Wan? Why get excited about any next Star Wars film? I mean, you might as well, like, just implode it like the Death Star. I mean, because it's not the original. Like, I don't expect them to find the essence of like a New Hope. You have a lot of crew there. I mean, if we don't get George Lucas, you know, back on, you know, but, you know, at least find, you know, parts of the crew to reestablish the messages in Star Wars and don't allow, you know, Disney to just take over it.
I was going to say the most that we had seen Boba Fett prior to this was in Empire Strikes Back. And he basically was the one that found Han, and he was going to bring Han to Jabba, and he'd worked with Darth Vader. Now, that Boba Fett, that character, he was a badass, and he was in it for himself. Like, he had no sides. Like, I think if the, you know, the Rebellion or the Alliance hired him to do something, he would do it. Like, he would, if Darth Vader screwed him over, he'd kill him instantly, or find a way, or try to anyway to kill him. Like, say, like he said, you know, well, we're not gonna. He got a little pissed off, like when they were gonna put Han into carbonite, because he's like, it's not worth to me if he's dead, and you know, he mouthed it off to Darth Vader. He's in it for himself. He's not this guy with the big heart, you know. Like, yeah, I mean, he became the Grinch. You know, like where the Grinch was a bastard in the beginning of the movie, and then all of a sudden he grew heart, and that's what Boba Fett is now. He's the good Grinch.
No, and I think this is deliberate, because you can create a perfect duality. You know, there's only two sides to life, is what I feel like Disney's saying. You're either good or you're bad. And we don't want to show the bad. We only want you to look at the good. And that's not, you know, reality. And that gets old pretty quickly. I think when we show these gray areas, people find those truths within themselves. They could see themselves as Boba, or they could see themselves as Darth Vader, or they could see themselves, you know, as Leia or Luke or Obi-Wan, because of their imperfections and because of their choices. And it's like, when you start taking that away and just making everybody good, it's just BS. Like, I don't know. I really don't know who wants to enjoy that and eat that up for so long. So I do hope that you're right. I hope that a new Tarantino comes out, or they, you know, they wake up and realize that you guys are going to lose one of the biggest franchises ever.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Again, someone's going to come out with a movie that's going to be so dark and so different. And maybe it doesn't have to be dark, but it might be bloody, it might be violent, and that thing's going to make $1 billion. And then the rest of the studios are going to go, wow, they made money, we should make money too. It's kind of like it's a never-ending cycle, kind of like what DC did with the Justice League. They're like, well, Marvel's making a lot of money with their movies. Look how much money they made with the Avengers. They made $1 billion. Let's fast forward to Justice League. It's like, we don't have to introduce the other characters. We want some of that money. Studios copy each other all the time, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to get something really badass one day, and then everyone's going to be on board. Disney might come up and say, well, you know what? We're going to split off our division and have Fox handle this, because we really can't deal with this, because, you know, we're Disney, but we're going to do it anyway, because they used to own Miramax, and Miramax did Pulp Fiction.
Miramax was their adult division.
Wow, Miramax, yeah. You're taking me back. It had some pretty risque films with Miramax. The last thing I want to say about this, through this topic, I'm not going to get political, but it probably comes from that, I guess, aspect, is that the other thing that I don't like about these boxes that they're checking off in any series, in any film that we critique, is do not imply that the people are stupid.
That's a good point.
Why don't you make unique, provocative, thoughtful stories so people can think? Because as I said, I'm very worried as a writer that people are just going to stop reading books and they're going to stop reading comics and they're just going to be just like, you know, in front of the TV or the metaverse or whatever other, you know, illusion that they want to just get addicted to. Like, that's the thing that I'm truly worried about, because that's the essence of film that I love, as I've said, the stories. And when you start making them this tinkered down to fit some little cookie cutter thing, I mean, you're just making it stupid for everyone. And like, I mean, when you, I literally cannot fathom it every time we talk about it. I just can't, because it's like you have a plethora of writers and editors and cinematographers at your disposal to create anything. And yet, you're making the youths with the little scooters that can go 2 miles per hour. And you're making little cyborgs, you know, because you're trying to get everybody into AI and into your, you know, algorithms. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. Not the entire world is not obsessed with robots and becoming like half AI or thinking that that's cool. No, I want to be human. I want to be real. I want to be badass. And I know that I am. And that's what I want to see on film.
Good point, Fedra.
Sorry for my soapbox.
No, it was good.
I had to let it out.
And it was right. Jack, do you have anything to say before we go?
I think I already aired out my grievances. I just think it's sad that Jon Favreau was so involved with this, and this is what we got, because he did such a great job on The Mandalorian. It's sort of like, what the heck happened with Boba Fett?
Unless they
made him write it, he really didn't want to do the series, and they just said, well, you on season 3, you got to do a Boba Fett.
No, that's true. But,
and he was just phoning it in or something. I don't know what happened there, but like I said, I just expected so much more from that guy.
Well, we don't know too. I mean, I did notice he is very political too. And maybe this is his true side coming out. And now that he was able to do The Mandalorian and he has the power to do what he wants, kind of like what Kathleen Kennedy did. You know, The Force Awakens was very successful. And then they're like, well, you know what? Well, now I'm going to do whatever the hell I want, because who's going to like basically fire me after the success of The Force Awakens? And maybe that's what Jon Favreau is thinking. And he's like, well, maybe it's time to teach people a little bit. And again, this is just speculation. I don't know if it's him or if it's Disney, but somebody is trying to push a message on us, and it's not what we want. Like Fedra said, we want to see Star Wars. We don't want to have, we don't want to be preached at. We don't want to get these soft characters. You know, we want to enjoy it. Like we did The Mandalorian. Mandalorian basically did kind of stick up to, you know, to the Star Wars values, where it was fun. Everybody was on board with it. Didn't matter if you liked the prequels or the sequels, the original trilogy, we all loved it. So they just have to, maybe they'll learn from this and realize like, this was a mistake. We're not going to do this again. We're going to stay more loyal to the fan. Cause this has, they can't ignore the fact that this is getting a lot of hate online. If they're into like trends and social media crap and all that, it's not trending very well. You know, it just seems like a big failure for them. But we'll see. It takes people a while to learn from their mistakes. Really quick, I wanted to say too that I looked online and people want the head of Robert Rodriguez on a stick, because he directed the worst episodes in this, including, you know, the introduce of the scooter utes. And this one. And they think that he might be part of the problem, because that guy, he directed Spy Kids and Shark Boy and Lava Girl, you know, back in the day. But he also directed Sin City, Desperado, and Once Upon a Time in Mexico, and Alita Battle Angel, which I really enjoyed. And but they wonder if he was making this one with his kids in mind, and that's why it was so watered down, and it was more of like a Spy Kids kind of story than the direction of, say, Sin City or Desperado. And I can kind of see that, because like if he can direct those different genres for different audiences and still be successful. Maybe he felt he was doing the right thing by making things appear softer than what they should have. Anyway, that was my last word on the thing. So, okay, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You can friend request me on Facebook and follow me on Instagram. And you can send me an email at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end. Oh, before I end it, I want to say really quick, I think we're going to be doing a show over the weekend, and we're going to be talking about Star Wars and was it a mistake for George Lucas to sell to Disney. So that'll be a special one-off episode that we'll do, so keep your eyes out for that.
Chung chung.
Dum dum. So like I said, with that, this will be the end of WWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 7. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.